Chunkbond episode 131. This week we'll be going over Weekly Shonen Jump issues number 22 and 23. My name is Cole Greco, and joining me as usual is my co-host Jude Knoll. Jude, how's it going?
Going pretty well, actually. This week was a pretty busy one for me. I had two pretty big papers due for the end of each of my master's program courses, so now that they're turned in this weekend, I'm completely done with that until the fall semester, so it'll be nice to have a couple weeks off, or a couple months off, actually.
Nice. Yeah, that's awesome.
Just had a lot on my plate this week, so I'm feeling pretty relieved.
There we go. Yeah, this week was pretty busy for us at work, too. We normally, like, for what we do, we get about, I'd say, like, we've been getting about 20-ish projects a week come in. Friday alone, we had 10. So, this week was pretty brutal, but, you know, once again, got the weekend, just been doing a lot of hanging out, went to the movies yesterday, so, yeah, pretty, hopefully more smooth sailing moving forward for myself as well.
Interestingly enough, I actually went to the movies as well yesterday, but that's in my bonus rec section, so sweet. I will mention that later. I also see in our notes what you saw, so yeah. I'll save that for later as well. We'll talk about that at the end of the episode.
Yeah, the film portion of Tonkoban. All right, well, do we want to hop into the table of contents here? We have a combined issue this week, so no Weekly Shonen Jump next week.
Yeah, a combined issue with some insane surprises, actually. This might be one of the weirdest table of contents we've had in a long time.
Yeah, I'd not actually, like, looked at the table of contents. Dear Lord. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I know you're going to be mad when you read this.
All right. So the cover page and lead color page goes to One Piece with color pages for Kyokuto Necromance, Kamen Kitanteo, and Kagurabachi. I believe this Kamen Kitanteo is a one-shot. And I don't know if that's the one or if it was the one from last... Okay, there wasn't one last week. I believe this is the one being done by the Phantom Seer duo. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think so. You mentioned it last time when we were doing the like next issue preview, so I think that's it.
I think it is, which means that, you know, it won't be officially translated, but there might be a fan translation because someone did their baseball one, and while the translation was pretty rough, it was at least readable.
Yeah, we need to get some actual baseball fans in charge of translating some of these baseball manga. Like, when it comes to the official translations, they're usually fine, but, like, you're a fan and you're translating baseball manga, I need to see your fan credentials first. You gotta show me, like, you gotta answer at least, like, 10 trivia questions about the past 10 years.
Well, even the official ones, are pretty bad. Like, I was reading Ace of Diamond, whenever it was, last year, and they don't, like, localize it enough. They keep calling them, like, points or something like that. And I was like, no, just call them runs, man. Like, just, like, you can... You know, even if the actual Japanese term would be, like, points or something, like, I'm sure the terminology is a little bit different. Just, you know what it is, just translate it to runs or translate it to fastball or whatever. Like,
yeah.
You can change that up.
By just, like, obsessively having consumed a ton of Japanese baseball media in English over the past 10 years, I feel like I've learned so many weird terms that they use. Like, instead of contact, they call it meet, like M-E-E-T. So they're like the bat meets the ball well. And then, like, instead of a two-seam fastball that breaks towards your arm side, it's called a shoot ball.
Okay.
Or shooto sometimes. A lot of weird terminology that, you know, you wouldn't hear anywhere else.
Yeah.
Even the term fork ball, which you hear occasionally in English media, is used way more often in Japanese baseball.
Oh, interesting. Is that just like a splitter?
Yeah.
Okay.
But they call it a forkball.
I guess that makes sense. All the Japanese pitchers use a splitter anyway, so I feel like that kind of tracks.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's just really, like, I understand, I mean, this is a larger, you know, translation versus localization thing, but, like, that's why you have localization, so that you can change terms that mean the same thing, but make more sense to your, you know, the new audience.
Yeah. At least do us the courtesy of, you know, using an asterisk to be like, forkball, equals splitter, or like points equals runs, if you're gonna be completely true to the original terminology.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, you gotta put like a translation glossary in the back of the book.
Yeah. I feel like old prints of manga from when we were kids used to have that glossary. And now I think manga assumes you know all this terminology because you've read other stuff. But yeah, I don't think that's always the case.
My copy of Akanabanashi, or not Akanabanashi, Azumanga Daioh has that. There's like a whole section. It's either in the back of the entire thing or in the back, or like after each sort of volume, because it's like the collected, you know, 4-in-1 type thing. It sort of has that. It'll like explain things, you know, even if it's just like, you know, the Japanese school year starts in the spring, stuff like that. But it'll also, you know, it'll include little things like that. Like, I translated this from this thing. It sort of means this, but not exactly, you know, here's what I went with kind of thing, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah. If I remember correctly, I think the copy of Yotsuba that I was reading a few weeks ago had that as well.
That makes sense.
Where it explained the honorific system. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... that's another Yen Press one, and I think it's the same translator. I'm pretty sure Stephen Paul did both of those.
Mm. Yeah, word to Viz, but I think Yen Press has some of the best prints when it comes to, like, somewhat well-known manga.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, theirs is pretty good. I really like the, they're pretty small, but the Denpa, like, pressing of, March Comes In Like a Lion, that one's really good. It did take them forever to actually send me, like, my pre-ordered copy when I did Volume 1, because I guess they are so small, and that's a pretty big, series, but the quality, actually, very good, so, you know, shout out to Denpa. Yeah, Viz is actually kind of lacking, I think, on the stuff that's not, like, their big... almost like collector's edition or things like that. Dark Horse has really good stuff too.
Yeah, I remember saying this a few episodes ago, but the copy of Sandland that I bought a while back, which I think was it came out way before Sandland got the recent hype because of the movie. It was one of those things where it's like another work by the author of Dragon Ball Z. Mm-hmm. So I think it was just sort of like published as a novelty thing at that time, but the quality of that was very poor. Sometimes the images or text would actually be cut off on the right or left side of the page they hadn't cropped it properly.
Yeah, well, they still run into that even in the newer ones. They did that Akira Toriyama's Manga Theater, I don't know, a couple years ago, and it's pretty good. Like, it, you know, it's hardbound, it's like good paper quality, but it's the same thing. Like, there's stuff where I don't think there's any words cut off, but there's definitely parts of the images that are, like, cropped a little bit weird. It doesn't really make too big of a deal, but it's just sort of like, you know, if you're going to go through all this effort to make it, why not just get a different paper size?
Right, especially when you have the issue of people, you know, pirating it online or reading the official digital version for $2 a month. Like, you might as well go all in with the physical versions to give people incentive to buy them. Sort of like how in music, you know, you've got, like, people aren't always actually spinning the records or playing the cassettes they're buying, but I feel like people mostly buy those just because they're, like, a cool, high-quality looking product.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. It's something to put on the shelf.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're trying to get people not to stream stuff or pay extra money, like, gotta throw in a little something-something.
Mm-hmm.
Although, sometimes I am willing to buy the Viz print copies just so I can see the author's notes on a series that I really like.
Yeah, that is worth it a lot of the times. All right, let's get into the rest of the table contents. We've got number one spot is Super Psychic Policeman Chojo, followed by Jujutsu Kaisen, Blue Box, My Hero Academia, and then Akanabanashi at number five. At number six is Sakamoto Days, followed by new series Astral Royale. Then at seven, Mission Yozakura Family, Witch Watch, Undead Unluck, and then Kill Blue at number 10. And then our bottom third of the magazine here is Elusive Samurai, Me and Roboco, Green Green Greens, New Age Exorcist, and then Dear Anemone in the 15 spot. First thing, Super Saiyan Policeman Chojo continues its domination of the table of contents. I haven't even read the last two chapters, if we're being honest. I can't do this series.
Yeah, at this point, we can't even call this, like, a Linsanity run. This is a straight-up Mike Trout run.
Like, yeah, it's been...
It's running away with Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, it was 1, 3, 2, and then color page. That's been its past 4 weeks.
Jeez.
That's nuts.
Yeah, this is one of those things where I think stateside, there is no explanation for this. No. The humor is very, it's very, like, Tsukomi and bokeh style back and forth comedy, and I feel like that stuff usually doesn't translate super well into, you know, an English translation for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just, like, so, it's such, like, a cultural thing where a lot of Japanese, like, sitcom humor follows that format, whereas it's something we're not used to. So a lot of times that type of gag series doesn't land super well.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas me and Robico is more like parody humor, so I think we understand that more. But
yeah, and
I think the series has good art. That's all I'm going to say. Mm-hmm. At least it looks good.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, as we saw with like Sket Dance, you know, Japanese manga that is super like very text-based jokes and stuff like that doesn't land well, because, you know, they'll have like puns and things like that. It's like the translator can try to like come up with some approximation, but that's hard to do, and it just, I don't know, it always reads really awkward. It's just a sort of lost in translation thing, I think, is part of it too. And like you said, we don't really have that kind of comedy in our culture, so it just feels weird. There's nothing you can sort of relate it back to.
Yeah, it's like every time they tell a joke, it's like some guy says something stupid, and then somebody else is like, hey, audience, can you believe they said that? Come on.
Mm-hmm.
That said, I've been keeping up with it. I think I'm a bit more of an apologist than you are, and I think that the most recent few chapters have been better than the first few.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always trying to get on board with any new comedy series, and it has grown its cast of characters enough that they can branch out of that a little. Right now they're kind of in a story arc. Right now there's a cherry blossom viewing festival, and right now Chojo has been separated from his assistant, who's trying to keep him away from his, like, not supervisor but superior.
Mm-hmm.
Because the superior is obsessed with him and is always trying to find out details about his personal life. But it's a festival arc, so, you know, I'm always on board for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that could be cool. Let's see. The other table content stuff we have, nothing else is really in a crazy spot. I mean, Green Green Green's New Ways, Exodus, Anemone at the bottom three. You know,
Anemone at the bottom sucks.
Yeah.
I'm so pissed about that, actually.
Yeah, I mean, that and Green Green Greens being that low is a bummer. New Age Extras being second to last, it's sort of like, you know, finally. I mean, it's taken them this long, but yeah, Green Greens and Anemone down there is kind of lame. But I mean, if you're looking at the table of contents, I don't know what else they could put down there, really, other than, you know, you throw Policeman Chojo down there. Everything else I like well enough to, or, you know, either like it well enough or it's an established series. Like, you know, I'm not big on Elusive Samurai or Undead Unluck, but they're not going to put them down there in the bottom spot at this point. So really, it's sort of, it has to be one of these three series. We don't have a Shadow Eliminators anymore. It's really, the only things in the magazine right now are either like brand new series, these things that are at the bottom with nowhere else to go, or it's like just established sort of vet series.
Yeah, I remember not long ago you were like, almost everything, mm-hmm. like almost half of the magazine is unreadable. Right now, I would not say that. I think after the most recent culling, the batting average is a lot higher each month.
Yeah,
or each week. Yeah.
Well, I think what happens is when you have three or four just really awful series, it makes things that I don't really enjoy reading, like, you know, Jujutsu Kaisen, My Hero Academia, Undead Unluck, Elusive Samurai. I don't love reading any of those series. I just sort of read them out of obligation at this point. It becomes much more of a chore to sit through those when it's like, I also have to read New Age Exorcist and Shadow Eliminators and, like, you know, Mama Yu Yu and whatever else we just recently, Two on Ice. Like, when that number doubles from, like, 4, I don't really want to read this series, to now, like, 7 or 8, that becomes pretty unbearable. But at this point, when there's really only one series I just, like, outright don't enjoy, I can sit through JJK and My Hero and be like, yeah, these series have kind of lost me, but, like, at least they're competently done in some regards.
Mm-hmm. And looking at the bottom again, if I had to choose, I think I would willingly sacrifice Dear Anemone at the bottom for more Green Greens.
Definitely.
Even though I do quite like Dear Anemone and think it's an interesting change of pace for the magazine, I just like Green Greens that much that I'd get rid of it.
Yeah, I think I'm the same way. You know, I would like to keep Green Greens around, and so, you know, while Dear Anemone I think is, like, pretty good, if it were gone next week, I wouldn't, you know, cry for it. Like, I would swap Dear Anemone for another roll of the dice of a new series next week if we had to be honest.
Agreed.
But yeah, and, you know, if we have to sacrifice Dear Anemone to get rid of New Age Exorcist, I think that's a worthy trade.
Oh yeah.
All right, we'll hop into some more of the specific chapter discussion. First one we've got is Kyokuto Necromance, which was the new series from last week. It's the new series from Aliens Area author Fusai Naba, who I think is the first kind of returning new author since we've started Tankobon. Or, you know, the first where we've covered two new series by this author. So that's pretty cool. Definitely, you know, it feels like one of the show's own. But I quite enjoyed Kyokuto Necromance. I think I might have liked this first chapter more than Astro Royale. It definitely is leading itself into another Aliens Area style story. It's kind of the same thing in a lot of ways, except instead of aliens, we've got sort of Shaman King-esque or, you know, Doron Dororon-esque, you know, like stand battles against demons kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which is fun. I always like a persona, fighting with a puppet type thing. I think that's pretty cool. So yeah, I'm interested to see where he goes with this, because the fight that we saw was neat and pretty fun. I like the designs of these sort of creatures we have a lot. And if he can, you know, pull out some of the kind of like buddy cop comedy stuff that we had a little bit in Aliens Area and just sort of sprinkle that in, I think this could be a really fun series.
Yeah, I think personally, I'm a little bit more of a fan of Astro Royale at this point, but I do think the art in the series is great. I liked the art style in Aliens Area, but it's a bit of a step up this time. The backgrounds are really fleshed out. The character designs are weird and distinct in a good way. Kind of just leaned into the quirks that he already had in his Aliens Area art style. And I also liked that he learned from his mistakes previously and got right into the action, where he introduced our main cast and, like, you know, the concept of the world and all these monsters in the first chapter. So that bodes well. For me, I just don't quite know about having another Exorcist series that has, like, JJK type supernatural creatures in it. We just got rid of a few over the course of the past year, and I just hope this one is unique enough to make me separate it from those in my mind.
I think the point in Kyokuto Necromance's favor is that the fights are, at least so far, you know, after one chapter, they are, like, visual things you can see. Unlike JJK, where it's just sort of like, this guy has this power and you don't really see anything happen, he just moves really fast or something like that. This is at least like, I have this giant spirit demon thing and it's going to fight your spirit demon thing. So it's at least like, it's closer to an MHA or a Naruto type thing than it is Hunter x Hunter or JJK, which, you know, while cool, can be a little bit exhausting.
Yeah. I do like the secondary main character's design a lot. This guy who's, I guess, supposedly a famous novelist.
Yeah. So famous, people are, like, walking around asking for an autograph. There is no novelist on the planet that would garner that response from high schoolers, right? Like,
yeah.
Who's the biggest writer amongst high schoolers? What, like, John Green. People don't recognize that guy.
Yeah.
George R. R. Martin.
This dude, yeah. But I guess it's no different than PPPPP having like world famous pianists who are among the biggest YouTube users.
As egregious as the famous novelist is, PPPPP is even more unrealistic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, obviously, this is media written for a younger audience, and I can't be too critical about this type of thing,
mm-hmm.
but like, make it at least a bit more nuanced. Be just like, this dude's a famous novelist, and leave it at that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Maybe the main character is a book fan, and he's like, oh, I recognize this guy, why is he hanging around my school looking for me? Like, he doesn't have to be surrounded by a group of, like, adoring stans to, like, understand that he's famous. You could just say that, and we would get it.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It seemed like they wanted to have this idea that this person is famous, and he's like, well, I don't want to make him, like, a famous actor. That's too overplayed. Let's do, I don't know, novelist.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't want to make him a streamer. I guess novelist sort of implies this kind of, quiet, sort of a unspoken character, and so that's how he can do that. You know, if it's a famous actor, you have to turn them into like this outgoing personality. Here, you can keep them mm-hmm. very like reserved and mysterious. Maybe that's what they were going for.
Yeah, I do kind of like they've given him this very like sickly, androgynous mm-hmm. Oscar Wilde type yes. appearance. It looks cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's very like it looks like he listens to The Cure.
Yes, very much so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Next year we've got is Blue Box. Blue Box, we're starting yet another festival arc, and I really like this chapter. We're getting a little bit of the drama with what's his name? Bowl cut glasses guy. And his sort of childhood friend, ex-girlfriend thing. I don't remember exactly their setup.
Yeah.
And the
I kind of forgot that she was a character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's kind of fun. And, Taiki runs into Chinatsu at the festival. We'll say their meeting is a little corny. I think we've had that moment about 10 times, so I was a little bit...
Yeah.
We flashed over to them and was like, I really just want to see more of, what's his name? Kyo.
Yeah. Yeah, it feels like he's not even just in a love, like, triangle. It feels like he's in a love square at this point.
Yeah, because he has, Hina is another part of that, so...
Yeah, then the manager, mm-hmm. and then his childhood friend, so...
Yeah.
I'm not even sure if he's aware of that at this point.
No, he has a whole harem.
Yeah.
He has about
at this point, like, Taiki's already got... Chinatsu, like, we can just shelve this story until we get back to the finals.
Yeah,
let's make Kyo the main character now.
We have a real Blue Box Never Learns scenario going on.
Exactly. Yeah, that's... I feel like we're at the point in this series that Nisekoi reached much earlier on, where they're like, we don't really have any direction at this point, so let's just have all of these secondary characters interact in various ways and mm-hmm. wait until people get bored of this.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, except Nisekoi reached that point at like 35 chapters in, and there was still 200 to go.
Yeah, when you've made it to 146 chapters like Blue Box has, you've earned the right to just mess around like that.
Mm-hmm, exactly. But I thought this chapter was fun overall. I'm always down to see a festival setting. But would like it to go more in the way of, the glasses guy. I find him to be one of the more, to have one of the more interesting setups that we've got going right now.
Yeah, I did like Taiki's mask that he wears in actual festival scene.
Mm-hmm.
Reminds me of that mask. I mean, it's been forever since I've read or watched Demon Slayer. But I remember there's a character that wears pretty much that same mask.
Yeah, the swords. The swordsmiths all sort of wear that kind of mask. I don't know what it is. It's not the Tengu mask. That's a different one, but
yeah, it just looks like
a little like it.
Funny face guy.
Yeah, exactly. Next up we've got is Witch Watch. This was a pretty fun chapter, I thought. It actually like was pretty, I don't know. It seemed like Shinohara was kind of like trying to say something here. We've got, talking about like momochis, talking about her weight, trying to diet, things like this. One point we have this panel where a guy says, "Geez, you're thick," with two C's, and then "freaky," which is a crazy panel to throw in. That was maybe one of the more insane Weekly Shonen Jump moments we've had.
Yeah, that was definitely 90% localization there. But I do want to know what he actually said.
I would love to.
Like, what the real term was.
I would love if it was just thick in katakana. That would be incredible.
Yeah. For real. The art for this chapter, for some reason, was like, I feel like this was one of the best drawn Witch Watch chapters we've ever had. Mm-hmm. Like, Momochi's mom with the really intricate looking dress design and like hairstyle, like her, I feel like we're never going to see that character again.
Yeah.
She's extremely well designed and drawn.
Shinohara's kind of at his best when he's just drawing people like walking around, or it's like a character introduction and they just have a cool outfit on. That's what he like lives for.
Yeah, for real. But there's a lot of great opportunity for just like background drawing. There's like a plate of omelet rice and like hot dogs and steak in one of the pages, which looks cool.
Yep.
A lot of just like food spreads. And I did love the final page where Shinohara kind of flashes back to a 1960s manga art style. Looks like early Doraemon or something here.
I was gonna say, you can definitely see the Doraemon influence at the end of this chapter.
Yeah. I feel like this is something you kind of see once every few months from Shinohara, where he'll just throw in a random like throwback art style for kicks.
Next issue we have here, we talked about a little bit, is Green Green Greens. I thought this chapter was pretty cool as well. We get to see I don't remember her name, but sort of the main female character playing in the tournament with our main character as the caddy. He doesn't even really pop up that much. It's really just pure kind of golf action.
Yeah, and I mean, I think this is what I really wanted from this series all along, was for it not even to be focused on one specific character, but I always bring up that first color page from chapter one, just letting it be about a full cast. And I think whether or not this series lasts beyond the next couple of months, I do think we've gotten to that point where the series is able to be about a group of people rather than just this one guy who's never played golf before.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're really actually kind of fleshing out the world and the other characters. But yeah, I thought this one was fun. This one is definitely going into more of the like traditional sports arc route that we have, where like, you know, it ends off this chapter when he's like, wait, she's grabbing the club with her left hand? Which is, you know, it's always some weird stuff, right? Like, you know, in Ace of Diamonds, be like a character's like, oh my gosh, is he actually a switch hitter? Or like, you know, this guy in Slam Dunk is, you know, like he's pulling up from three, and then, you know, it ends the chapter there. It feels like that kind of moment, which is, you know, always, that's a good cliffhanger.
Yeah, I agree. But this one, yeah, really good chapter, and I think the art is really coming together. I think the pacing is decent. Like, right now, this is a pretty solid series, and just hoping it can kind of hang in there and maybe grab some more votes per week.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll luck out and the next batch will be just like a two series one, and we'll lose Dear Anemone and New Ace Exorcist, and, you know, Green Green Greens can kind of keep chipping away.
Yeah, the PPPPP method.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, we like that series, but like the Magu-chan one of just like it runs for 70 chapters sort of inexplicably.
Yeah.
And then the final series we have to talk about here is Ruri Dragon. I'm glad you put this on here, because I forgot to include Ruri Dragon. It is technically in the magazine, so that means we will be talking about it. But yeah, this was a fun little chapter. We get a little bit more into why this girl doesn't like Ruri. She says, because you don't care about other people, which kind of that's a pretty big reason to not like someone. I don't know if we've seen enough characterization from anyone to make these judgments, but maybe we'll get like a fun little backstory or something. or a flashback.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I feel like we're getting a flashback next week.
Yeah, yeah, to where she, you know, she didn't include her in something in, like, first grade.
Yeah, exactly. And while the backgrounds in Riri Dragon can be kind of basic and not
very
really
sparse,
thin,
yeah.
Yeah, once again, we're getting some great character art and expressions. I love the... Anytime there's a drawing of the teacher, he's so well drawn.
Mm-hmm.
He's so expressive.
He seems like such a cool guy.
I know. I want as much of him in the series as possible. He reminds me, even though he doesn't really look like him, because, like, this is a realistic-looking series, he does remind me of Gojo a bit.
Yes.
Like, mm-hmm. the face that he's making on page 7, that's a very Gojo-esque expression.
Mm-hmm. Yep, without a doubt. Yeah, there's a lot of just fun characters in this series. Honestly, this girl, the sort of hater girl we have, is my least favorite so far. But even then, I'm like, I'm still pretty intrigued by, you know, what her deal is. So,
yeah.
You know, Shindo here in a short time, we're only on chapter 12, really has, like, a pretty fun cast of characters.
Yeah, I even really like this student council president guy who we've seen in 3 panels.
Mm-hmm.
And I already feel like I understand who he is as a character. He's kind of an overachieving burnout with a
yep.
cool hairstyle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yep. I'm all in for that.
Yeah, even the vice president's pretty fun. Yeah, I'm very glad this series is back, you know, and if it has to come out every other week, that's fine.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, this is also sort of the Mike Trout of Shonen Jump, where you're like, man, if Masaoki Shindo could stay healthy, mm-hmm. this might be the greatest of all time.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, or the true Shohei Ohtani. Always, you know, multiple
yeah,
Tommy Johns already.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. I always forget, like, his first full season here kind of got cut really short. He
mm-hmm.
struggled at first.
Yeah, well, he almost lost Rookie of the Year to my boy Miguel Andujar.
Oh, wow.
Real.
Dang.
Throwback.
What's he up to?
He was on the Pirates at one point, actually. Very curious. I remember Miguel Andujar was forever the guy of, like, well, we can throw him in the trade and maybe get this guy back. Actually, that's career. I was going to say, he's actually killing it this year.
Yeah, I was just about to say the same thing. I don't think he's even playing this year.
No, he has not played a game in the majors.
He's a career 1.5 war guy.
I mean, you know, yeah, the issue was, at least on the Yankees, he couldn't field at all, and then he got injured in his sort of second season, and it was all over from there. He's another one of these guys, too, you know, rookie year, .297 batting average, .328 on-base percentage. He had 25 total walks. It's
Jeez.
Not what you want nowadays.
Wow. Yeah. Wow, he did almost have 30 home runs in his rookie season, though. It was pretty mm-hmm. nice, I guess.
And 47 doubles. I think he broke, like, the rookie doubles record or something like that. Like,
yeah,
this is a decent
stat line, I guess.
Yeah, he was a good player. He just couldn't field, and then he could never quite get back to that level. He never really was, like, you know, he got injured, and then he wasn't able to get, like, consistent at-bats, and, you know, sort of the what could have been for Miguel Andujar.
Yeah. Someone needs to make a YouTube video essay on this guy.
For real. I mean, after that rookie season, I was all in on Andujar. I was like, that's my guy. And then he, like, broke his arm or something, like, pretty early into the next season, and he could never get back.
Yeah. Well, if I had, like, you know, millions of dollars at my disposal, I would I'd commission Foolish Baseball to make a Miguel Andujar 20-minute mm-hmm. video.
Yep. Yeah. That can be the first Tankobon video, is the Miguel. Just completely off manga. We're talking about Andujar.
Yeah, I'm here for that. That's, like, all route I've been watching lately. I don't watch a lot of TV or anything, but there's one thing I will watch. It's, like, Foolish Baseball or all of the other Foolish Baseball ripoff channels that mm-hmm. are active on YouTube right now.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, those were always fun. When I worked from home, I would throw them on. They were perfect background noise.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, I think that does it for our Weekly Shonen Jump discussion this week. Next week, next week, no Weekly Shonen Jump, but the next issue, we have a new series, Cycle Biori, color pages for Kagurabachi, Kill Blue, and then Mission Yozakura Family. So, you know, decent slate of color pages, and new series that has the more interesting art style. Still don't know what this one is about.
Yeah, we'll probably learn that next week.
Yeah, true. It should sort of pop up. Yeah, we'll get.
Maybe
like
it's about bicycling, though. I don't.
That would be sick.
Cycling, that would be cool.
I would love a cycling manga. Yeah, I'm not seeing anything online about what it is either. Just like the little promo image that we've had.
Yeah.
Which does look.
The art looks good though. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm down with it. It looks like this main character has like a bucket on his head or something like that. It looks silly.